With our regular session. I'd like to welcome everyone to the City Council regular session for October 17th, 2023. I'll just mention that Councilmember Knowlton is out of town and will not be attending tonight, as well as our Public Works Director and our Finance Director, both on vacation. We'll turn the time over to Elisa for a thought and a pledge.
Thank you. My thought comes from the recent Get Healthy Utah Stakeholders Retreat that members of the Health and Wellness Committee were able to attend, and I was able to attend. One of the presentations talked about a Surgeon General's report that's come out recently on loneliness across America. So this is from Dr. Vivek Murthy. He was originally appointed in 2014. And what the research shows is that the health and societal impacts of social isolation and loneliness have a direct impact on social well-being and health well-being, so much so that for every unit of social isolation that people feel, it's equivalent to smoking like 16 cigarettes per day on physical health. That it has social isolation is associated with cardiovascular health, diabetes, and even premature death. And what the report found is that in the United States, 39% of Americans say that they feel connected to others, which means 60% feel like they are not connected to others. And actually in North Salt Lake, given our wellness survey recently, we're slightly lower than that national average, where in our survey, when residents were asked if they felt connected to North Salt Lake as a community, only 31% said yes, that they did, and reported a 4 or 5 on that. And there is big variation across the city on those results, with those on the east side, 39% saying they feel connected, in Midtown, 27%, and on the west side, 24% reporting that they feel connected to North Salt Lake as a community. North Salt Lake as a city was also in the bottom one-third of Utah cities with regard to that question of connectedness in your community. And I really appreciated this research because it really is informing what we're doing on the Health and Wellness Committee, and I'm excited and proud of some of the things we're doing in North Salt Lake to help support that. But I want to share this quote then from Dr. Murphy where he says, given the profound consequences of loneliness and isolation, we have an opportunity and an obligation to make the same investments in addressing social connection that we have made in addressing other public health crises. If we fail to do so, we will pay an ever-increasing price in the form of our individual and collective health and well-being, and we will continue to splinter and divide until we can no longer stand as a community or a country. Instead of coming together to take on the great challenges before us, we will further retreat to our own corners, angry, sick, and alone. We are called to build a movement to mend the social fabric of our nation. It will take all of us, individuals and families, schools and workplaces, healthcare and public health systems, and all of us working together to destigmatize loneliness and change our cultural and policy response to it. Please stand with me for the pledge.
Thank you. Our next item is public comment. This is where we set aside time for anyone that would like to address the council. So if there's anyone would like to, please come forward, state your name and address.
Thank you. My name is Peter Worthland. I live at 746 West, 3600 South, Bountiful, Utah, thanks to the annexation. Without an address change. Just wanted to make you aware, and part of this is I'm on the Trails, Parks and Arts and Trails Committee, but Bountiful City has completed 14 miles of trails in addition to what they already have. They're going more, they're providing more trails. I'd invite you to go to the North Canyon Trailhead to see an expanded and a real trailhead. Before it was just an end of a dirt road. But they will be having a ribbon cutting up in Mueller Park next Tuesday at 3:30 p.m. But I think we really need to look at the example that Bountiful has had because of the health and well-being concerns that they have to really fund and look at trails on all sides of the city, as well as inner city. And so just want to make sure that you knew of that so that you can see, and then it would actually help as a citizen committee to also have any of your input from any of that. But I thought I'd make you aware and just invite you to that, because it will be a good event. So
thank you.
Thanks.
You should add the caveat, weather permitting, since they canceled it last time.
Yeah, they canceled the previous one. That's right. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Got to push my glasses up so I can see you, but my name's Colin Larson. I live in Foxborough on Stonehaven, and I just had a thought on the prior conversation about the transportation grade separation projects. And I'm a Foxborough resident, and the conversation in this, I will say, to me as a resident, was a little concerning, because this is a real issue there. About 8 months ago, had a son born, and part of the planning of that is how you're going to go get to the U in the middle of winter, the height of January, and have kind of that emergency plan if the baby comes early. And during that 9 months that Nicole was pregnant with my son, we always got stuck behind the train. It would just stop, and they don't give you any warning, sometimes for 30 minutes, I think, has been the max I've been stuck behind that. And it makes me think, like, what if that had happened and we had people behind us? There's a margin in the center of the road, so you can't make a U-turn, and someone's going to labor in your car. There's not really an option to avoid that station going over those tracks. If you're going to certain places in Salt Lake, yes, you could take the 215, loop around, but that's extra time to certain places, especially the U hospital. So I just want to say, like, personally, that is a huge issue for me. So I know it's got to be an issue for all the other families in Foxborough. And there's a lot of families out there, a lot of young families who are currently having children. And I'm not, by saying it's concerning, I'm not trying to call anyone out. I'm just saying this council represents everybody in North Salt Lake, and Foxborough is a newly developed community, and I understand that it could be easy to forget that, but I don't know if you guys have been down to Saratoga Springs, where people forgot to plan that city properly, and now there's all these houses, and there's only one road, and the nearest hospital is across the lake, and unless you want to go to the local hospital, which I'm sure people don't really want to do. So, that's all I have to say about that, and thank you for hearing me ramble about that for a little bit.
Thank you, Colin. I will add that maybe this is good news as we talk about funding, but our senator and all our congressional people have all been stuck behind trains on those, so they're very aware of it. So it's on a lot of radar. But.
And Elder Ballard was once, too. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right. Our next item is consideration of a request by a member of the Parks, Arts, Recreation, and Trails Advisory Board for the winter celebration. And we'll turn over to Camille. Are you going to do this? Thank you.
There was some discussion about how many of that committee wanted to come up and do this, but I will. I'm going to talk about the Winterfest, and I just want to say it's for everyone in the city, Main Street as well. It's for everyone. So you've all received the notice about the objective, and it's to continue the momentum of a winter type of an event like we had for the 75th anniversary, and we've had a lot of people, I don't know how many that is, but again and again we hear people say, we're going to do that again. And we've just missed 1 year, but we think we could pull it off this year by keeping it quite simple and keeping that momentum of having a winter event. And maybe in conjunction with the lighting the trees, which right this year would be on November 27th. Wow, that's just 6 weeks away. So, but if we continue to wait until the new park and phase one and two is done, then we feel like this winter fest momentum will be lost. So some of the ideas that would be part of that would be to hold it at the Veterans Memorial Amphitheater in the southeast corner of Center Street and Main Street, the intersection. And let's see, the tree lighting would be around 6:30. The designated trees of City Hall, we're not going to touch those, they're precious. And maybe a future plan would be that we could bring in different trees to decorate, but this year, not so much. This year, it would just be bringing on the 75th anniversary highlights, hot cocoa and treats, and not just Mr. Santa, but Mrs. Santa, too. They're already reserved for that date, if we could do this. Caroling entertainment could be the aerial flyers that Amy Ambler has connections with, or a movie in the background like Polar Express. We have fire barrels and food trucks and the history displays. And nixing the fireworks this year, there might not be time or budget for that, but maybe in future years we could allot some money for that. I've just accounted for some of the costs, and I'm sorry I don't know exactly the cost, which may jeopardize our chances of this, but I think it's pretty light. I shouldn't say because I don't know. On staffing hours, but the tree lighting would be the cost of powers, and the hot cocoa was donated from Lee's, if it were again to be. The entertainment choices could be affordable, and caroling and singing is free. Fire barrels would be the cost of fuel, and we would love to use the 75th anniversary barrels again. And music, a DJ, some budget for a DJ. And social media and advertisement, signage would have to go up quite right away. And again, we would not be looking for fireworks this year. So let's see. That is our proposal from the North Salt Lake Work Group with Amy Ambler, Laura Call, and Jeanette Todd's not here tonight, but we look forward to your thoughts on this. Do I get a minute to hear your thoughts on it now?
Well, I wanted to ask some questions, and maybe I'll direct
them. And face painting. They're going to yell at me if I don't say face painting.
And direct these maybe at Ken. And maybe I should start off by apologizing for poor leadership style or something. I brought this up a few times, but I haven't felt the need to impose my will at all about it. It's like, are we interested in this? And because it was a great event, it really was, and so I feel like if we can do it, we ought to. But I also am. See, here I go, backing off. I'm concerned about staff, because this falls on staff to put this together in a large sense, and you know.
Well, it's with your staff.
But I also wanted to just ask Ken a question about budget, and because I think we could, timing-wise, I think we could get fireworks. I just don't know if we want to expend that. So that was my question: is fireworks out of the question because of time, or is it just a monetary thing?
I haven't asked that question, but I think we could probably arrange fireworks. I mean, unless they're all wintering somewhere else now. But I mean,
fireworks. I'm adding that back. I'm gonna quit saying we don't need fireworks.
I just haven't explored that, but we could certainly.
But I thought under the code, there's only certain dates we can have fireworks.
So we're able to get a permit as a city, as a municipal government.
Well, and the other option, that, and here I go, but drones. Those drones are really pretty cool.
Yeah.
This might be a fun way to try those out as we think about that in the future, because the July 3rd event is so big. I think people will really miss the fireworks. But this might be a slow entry of, like, do we even like drones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think it's a great idea, and I'm all for it. And if we have the money, I'd like to support it. It was a great event, and we had a lot of people come, and it was a bit unusual to meet together at night and in the chill, and everybody meeting all over the city at our city hall. It was just really wonderful. So I think replicating it would be a great thing.
Awesome. I was trying to refrain from doing
I also love the idea. I think it was really fun, and it was nice to get together in the cold instead of so many of our events in the summer. I also really love the idea of continuing to tie it to North Salt Lake's birthday. I think that creates an identity with the city over and over again. They're like, oh yeah, every December we have this revisiting of the city's history, and maybe we do fireworks every fifth year if we need to, and so it's the 180th and then the 185th if budget is an issue. I also would love it to be like a caroling singing event, and we have a group of singers, you know, the choir that could sing there, but also could maybe lead and direct caroling in the group. Yeah, I think that would be really fun. I love the idea. This is just an aside. Something that we talked about in health and wellness, and I may have talked to some of you about it as well, the idea of kind of going through the events in the city and being really purposeful as a city council of which of those we want to make sure we prioritize. Because there is a cost to the staff when we create new events, and just being really purposeful of that it matters to us. So I know there are several different groups that are organizing events, and sometimes maybe not as much in consideration of different group, like Health and Wellness has done some, Parks and Arts have done some, and the city does some independently. It might be worth our time to have a work session where we say, hey, these are the 10 events we do in the year, 15 events, or the 20 events, I don't know how many there are, and is this really a priority for us?
I think it's a great idea, Camille. And I'm thinking that maybe what we ought to consider, though, is asking for volunteers to do some of the work that the staff has done in the past. Now, I don't know how the staff feels about that, but, you know, somebody could certainly help bring the barrels up and light the fires in the barrels and some things like that. And if we want much decorations, I certainly think that volunteers, if we ask for them, would probably be willing to do it. Dee might have some wood that we could use to put in the barrels, and I would be more than happy to help light a few of them, and we just need to see what, I guess, the staff, if they feel like they, you know, the last time they did a lot of work, just getting the barrels ready.
Well, that's good to know.
I assume we still have the barrels, is that right? Okay.
Oh, certainly there are staff hours, but I'd love to parse that out and figure out how we could get volunteers.
Yeah. Maybe I can ask what kind of staff participation do you think maybe we could put on volunteers, and what staff do you think it's going to require?
I'm not a big fan of volunteers, just because we usually, like, those things are easier for us to use our equipment, our things. That's not to be rude. I trust my guys. My guys, we are very detail-oriented. And when we put together plans, they're down to the minute if anybody's ever seen them. And every time we've had volunteers, for the most part, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to be honest.
No, I realize volunteers probably take more work. But
yes.
In some ways, they involve the community more. So there's a positive side to that.
But like moving hot things and big things that are heavy, even for a liability standpoint, I just assume generally use our guys. I'm not against this. Like I talked to Ken about it earlier today. I mean, we'll do whatever we're asked. But I would say the reason these events go well, the reason that a lot of times these events go smooth is because we do a lot of planning and a lot of pre-work, and we're very detail-oriented, very deliberate about a lot of the things that we put together, and it takes a lot of staff time, just even these little ones. You probably don't realize because everything goes smooth, but there's a reason it usually goes pretty smooth.
Okay. Well, I'm still for it, and I think that we can look at the budget, but I think we probably got the budget to do it.
Camille, I just want to thank you. I have served on the Parks Committee. This is exactly what I want the Parks Committee to do, is come up with great ideas that are going to help bring people together and celebrate our city. So I am 100% behind this, and I know I can't volunteer to carry hot things, but I can volunteer to be there and welcome people and serve hot chocolate or whatever you need, because I think this is just of great value, and you guys are doing a great job.
I am taking names for volunteers, so you're...
And balloons. I helped with the balloons last time, and it was fun.
It is a little bit cut and paste, yeah.
Ken, I'm going to say that we want to proceed forward.
Great.
And I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. No,
we should have made this decision 2 months ago.
It's okay.
I just have one question. Camille, why did you pick the 27th of November?
It is the day that the lights will be turned on at the city, so kind of that flip the switch. Somebody had a catchy name for it. The same night that the city's turning on the lights would be the night.
It's already on the calendar, it sounds like.
I see. It's just right after Thanksgiving holiday, and for staff, they may take extra long, so I just wondered if it was pretty hard that you wanted on the 27th.
No. What if it was December? So into December for the event, because the lights will have already been on, is a possibility.
Well, we could turn them off that night and then flip them on.
Or we could think about turning them on a different
later.
Time.
Yeah.
Why don't we look at the schedules? I think we need to make that decision quickly, so we'll have some discussion about that tomorrow and see what will work. And I think, Camille, you've done a good job assembling some volunteers, doing some pre-work. And I appreciate David's answer on volunteers. I would answer it this way, that there's lots of activities that are perfect for volunteers.
The car show.
And there are lots of activities that should never be done by volunteers, which I think is what David's trying to say. So we'll do our best. I think it will take, I agree with David, it'll take a lot of staff some time to put this together, but we won't drop everything and just do this for the next 30 days.
Right.
We'll do our regular work too. So,
one other thing.
Did I say something contradictory there?
No, I just clarify. Staff's great. A lot of good help with like the cakes and like bringing in that kind of stuff and table setup. I'm talking moving big stuff. We got porta potties. There's a lot of those little things that we've got to get set up that take time, and even having firewood ready. So,
yeah.
And I don't like fireworks. I know that. I love them in 4th of July, but it was kind of sour grapes when we did it 2 years ago, and it was kind of disappointing because we'd spend a lot of money, and there were so many naysayers, really negative about it.
Air quality or
air quality noise.
Money,
it's a winter night. Dogs, all of those things, and I don't think they were informed it was going to happen in advance because it's not like a 4th of July weekend. So they weren't. They were caught off guard. I think. Anyway, I think the drone idea is something to look into.
I do too. Thank you.
All right.
I'm available Thursday to come and talk to whomever. Who should I connect with, David?
We'll reach out to you.
Oh, okay.
Because
it sounds like we need to look at the calendar next.
Don't call us. We'll call you.
I know it sounded like that. But,
I see. Well, just in parting, I wanted to thank Amy Ambler again for just saying, you know what? I remember a really special time in the city. It was at the holiday time. It was at City Hall. So that's why we want it.
All right. Thank you, Camille.
Thanks, Camille. All right, next item is consideration of a resolution 2023-40R, a resolution approving a legal service agreement between Roger Adams and the City of North Salt Lake for public defender legal services in the city's justice court.
Thank you, Mayor. This item came up when we approved our contract for prosecution services in the court. And so the question arose during the meeting whether or not we have a contract with our public defender. And what we discovered is that we had an unexecuted version of a contract, and I apologize for saying it that way, but that's exactly what we found. And so we present this contract to you for your consideration. This is a contract for public defender services. It reflects what we're doing today with Roger Adams and his firm, which is a flat fee of $1,500 a month for those services. And on occasion, when a case arises that requires a jury trial, there's a flat fee of $1,000 because those are more complex sorts of cases. We maybe have probably less than five of those a year that require a public defender. We have approximately 20 times a month or 20 cases a month where a public defender is required. I met with Roger and the prosecutors recently, that is since our last meeting. We had a meeting in the court, and I've met with Roger over the years to discuss his services. He's a really good public defender. I think our client members of the public are well served by him. He works well with the prosecutors, and this is a good arrangement for us. I appreciate the council bringing this up as a need, because we certainly needed to firm up both contracts, both on the prosecutorial side and on the public defender side. So I recommend approval.
Any questions? Motion?
I move that the City Council approve Resolution 40-2023-40R, a resolution approving a legal services agreement between Roger Adams and the City of North Salt Lake for public defender legal services in the city's justice court.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Let's start with Elisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you. That passes. Next item is consideration of Resolution 2023-41R, a resolution approving an extension of the cell tower lease with Crown Castle for the use of the Eaglewood Golf Course property.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. This is a little bit of an unusual item. These lease agreements do not come up very often in the city. This particular cell tower is one of the flagpoles at the corner of Eaglewood Loop and Eagle Ridge Drive. That's hard to say fast. And you wouldn't really know there's a cell tower there. It just looks like one of the flagpoles. This corporation, Crown Castle, originally leased the property many, many decades ago. No, well, two decades ago. The proposed lease is for another 20 years, and there is an escalator if we enter into this lease of 15%. So we're currently getting $1,749 a month from this lease, and it will increase to $2,011 a month when we enter into this agreement. I had Crown Castle provide some data because it's always, I think cities ask themselves, is this a good deal? Are we getting a good price? How do we know if we're getting a good price? I ask those questions. So we were able to get some data, which I provided to you. So this is a little bit above the market value, but it's also in a location that is an important location. The tower currently is used by Verizon, I believe, for cell service. So this item tonight would allow us to it will approve the extension of time. The agreement has not been prepared. I told Crown Castle that I would come to the council first before we prepare the agreement. But the resolution authorizes the mayor to sign the agreement if it reflects the terms that I've described to the council. And hopefully you're okay if the, giving the mayor that authority to sign that agreement. And is this the resolution we've provided tonight? Or is it? Okay, so I apologize that you have a paper copy of that resolution, and it was inadvertently we left it out of the packet. So apologize for that.
I just got a question. Ken, can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
So if we didn't sign this agreement, when does it actually end?
It ends in February, I believe, of 2024.
And if they didn't have an agreement, would they go up and take the tower down? And
there's a provision for that that says they have to restore the property to its original pre-leased condition. So,
So in theory, if we wanted to, we found a better deal, then they'd have to go up, they'd take their tower down, somebody else would have to put another tower up. Okay.
I don't think we will find a better deal.
Seems to me that
theoretically,
you know, where it's a flagpole and we want the flagpole, you know. So.
You know, and I think that particularly prior to Tyler's hiring, I looked at these leases and other ways for the Gulf Enterprise Fund to make money. And so to me, it's a good solid way for the city to make $24,000 a year for basically allowing someone to have a flagpole on the corner. Yeah. So I think it's good.
I have a question. Oh, I think there's two things. One is that federal law is very protective of these cell towers. It's not impossible to not put them up, which I find fascinating. But secondly, I don't understand how the business works. So this question I have is, it says that Crown Castle will pay 40% of its future revenue generated by co-location of other carriers.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
So that's a great question. Co-location is a term that's used with cell towers, and it means if another carrier goes onto that same tower, Crown Castle will receive payments from that carrier, and they will share 40% of those payments with us. And today, that tower is too small for another carrier. But as I indicated in the staff report, as technology changes and as physical things like antennas become smaller, we may enjoy some revenue from another carrier if one day it could be placed on that flagpole because technology allows it. So I thought that was an important thing to keep in the agreement, even though we don't expect co-location right now.
Can we approve this with the understanding that the agreement will be executed without us seeing it?
Well, that's a question for Todd. And
the law actually requires that if there's some obligation to the city,
you have to see it. Okay. Great. So tonight would be probably not approval of a resolution, but rather instruction to
I think you could alter the resolution to read that you're approving the general terms and authorizing that an agreement be prepared and brought back to the council.
Yeah.
Great.
Then that gives Crown Castle some assurance that they have something.
Happy to do that. Make that motion then. Okay. Make the motion that we approve resolution number 2023-41R for the purpose of notifying Crown Castle that a cell tower lease agreement will be prepared and come back to the City Council for action.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further comment, discussion? Let's start with Lisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Next item is consideration of resolution 2023-42R, a resolution approving an amendment to agreement number 2016-52A, employment agreement between the City of North Salt Lake and Kenneth J. Leatham. And Kenneth, we'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. As I explained in your written materials, when I was hired as the city manager, the council at that time put an expiration on a portion of my employment agreement, and which I would like the council to consider making a change, the change being that you would be willing to continue under the same terms as I've had for the last 7 years. And those terms really relate to how compensation changes are made in my case. Currently, that is for the last 7 years, the contract indicates that I will be compensated on the same general schedule as other employees. So if the council approves a cost of living adjustment or a merit increase for all of the employees, that I would also receive that same same change to my salary. That provision of the contract expires on November 15th of this year, and so I thought it would be important for us to consider before that date a provision that would continue that same structure for the next 4 years. My proposal was that it would not expire until February 1st of 2028, which is about 4 years and maybe 4 months from now. So that's my proposal. I thought it was also important to point out to the council, which I did in this memo, that if the city council, I'd say two things. If the city council determines that there's a performance problem with the city manager, you don't have to make those salary adjustments, and that would be very proper. If there's a problem with my performance, the salary change would be the least of all of our concerns. You'd probably be wanting to get yourself a different city manager. So that's one thing. The other thing is we haven't really had performance evaluations. And as I've worked kind of directly with two mayors, we've talked about that, and both mayors have talked about that. And but I certainly think that if the council wishes to have performance evaluations done, I would welcome any feedback that the council would offer me on performance. So it's just been the greatest professional experience of my working life here in North Salt Lake in the last 7 years. It continues to be that way. And I tell everybody who cares, and even people who don't care, that I have the greatest job ever. So anyway, I think that's all I have to say, Mayor.
Thank you, Ken.
Mayor, I'd like to, because this is somewhat of a personnel matter, and even like a employee performance matter, I'm thinking it might be a good idea to enter into closed session for an open discussion. So I'll make that motion. Do we go into closed session?
Thank you. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion. Second, let's vote. Elisa?
Aye.
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 Thank you. We'll go into a closed session. Should we, should the council get up and just go into the...
Or should we wait?
It has to be recorded.
No.
Do you have to state the reason? Which I
do.
Yeah.
And can
we, personnel, that's right, by affidavit.
And can we just move this farther down the agenda so we do the end of the meeting? That's what I would...
If that's okay. If
that's okay with everyone else. Yeah, we can move till the end of the meeting.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a motion to go into closed session, but we're deferring that.
I'll withdraw the motion to go into closed session.
Okay.
But we're going to defer it.
But I'll make a motion that we move this agenda item to after the closed session.
After the regular meeting.
After the closed session, because we.
So we're moving the closed session to the
end of the agenda.
Right. Okay. And then we'll come out of closed session and take action on this agenda item.
Okay.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Second.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
All right, we're there.
Lisa seconded. They all voted in favor.
Keep up, Wendy. Come on. All right, let's do a vehicle purchase. This is a consideration of a vehicle purchase for Public Works. David Franson.
All right, good afternoon. So you guys probably remember this because this was actually a part of the discussion a couple weeks ago on that budget adjustment we talked about. This was in the initial budget. This is a Ford truck for the Parks Department. To get this vehicle, it's about a year roughly is what we're getting on if we order tomorrow. But the good thing is we lock in that price, and we're trying to use like some of the existing equipment that we already have, like a salter and a few other things. So I think our guys have done a really good job of using some old stuff with some of the new upfits in the. The report that you guys did get on this, and John wrote it, so he hadn't got some of the stuff, and I wanted just to be transparent because some of it's going to come up next week. He had talked about it not having the upfit charges to it yet, and the total upfit is going to be exactly $33,211.98. Which is a little bit less than we expected, and so that will bring this total to about just barely over 100,000, which is good. We had budgeted for 105, and I think it's well needed in our Parks Department. We've had incredible success with these small trucks in plowing snow, and the beauty of them is they're about a quarter of the cost of the big trucks, and they've been killing it in the flat areas and in the circles specifically and cul-de-sacs. So it'll have a dump bed on it and anything else. And the other thing, that there's a small change in the price as well that we didn't get till late this afternoon. It's a whole $159 less than the price that was on there, just because of a small difference in the vehicle model that our fleet department missed on. So any questions?
Did you say this is a year out?
That's what they're projecting, and I guess with what's going on in Michigan right now,
I was
going to
say.
But the beauty is
on boards, and we're trying to get trucks all the time, and
yeah,
there, and fire engines are 2 years out.
So. Yeah, vac-ons, all the big trucks are three years now. It's pretty crazy still. But the good thing is you lock in on the price, which is even crazier. Some of the prices have changed on these things in the last couple of years as well. So,
any questions on this motion?
Do we have an amount that we're going to be approving then?
And I'm sorry, I didn't even tell Ken because we just barely got the exact change number. It is this truck is 67,633.65. So just a little bit less than the number you see up there right now.
I'll move that the City Council approve the purchase of a 2024 Ford F-550 single cab chassis under State of Utah Cooperative Contract MA3794 from Larry H. Miller Auto for the price of $67,633.65.
I'll second.
And I also want to say I am employed by Larry H. Miller, but Larry H. Miller no longer owns Larry H. Miller Auto, so there's no conflict.
That was nice of you to divest.
Just to add that in case
somebody.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Let's start with Lisa.
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thanks.
Next item is consideration of accepting a grant award for the State Homeland Security Grant Program to purchase police radios. Chief Black.
Thank you. I really like that truck. At least they're letting him order. We were told we couldn't even order Fords for the police fleet this year, so we're trying to figure out what to do. If anybody has, if Larry H. Miller's company can find us a good thing somewhere, we would love to find out. We're going to order police cars sometime. For the last few, actually decades, there's been these state Homeland Security grants made available through the Federal Emergency Association, whatever they are, FEMA. And they come down through the Department of Public Safety and through the State Division of Emergency Management. And we are in the northern Utah region. We're not in Salt Lake's region. We're in the basically North Salt Lake to the border region. And most of these grants generally go to, my experience over the last 20-something years with these, to the fire service. But for a number of years now, the state, Utah State Communications Authority, UCAN, has been working on changing our radio system. And I apologize that I am not a radio specialist. Our former fire chief, Jeff Bassett, was really on top of these changes. But all I know is when we push a button on a radio, we're hoping that someone on the other end is there to hear it and can talk back to us and we can talk to each other. That current system is going to be changing sometime in the next fiscal year, between right now and June of 25, and it's changing to a system called a P25 system. Some of you may have heard of this. I have heard a little bit about it. I know the system we're on right now is an 800 megahertz system. It came from a VHF or a UHF system from when I started in all of this. Just as a little bit of background as to why we're applying for this grant, the radios that we currently have are a mixed bag of whether or not they will work. About 12 years ago, we had the opportunity to buy some surplus Olympic radios from, I believe they were originally in London. Motorola had provided them. And when they were done with them, we were able to buy them. At that time, we were told these radios would be able to have a chip or a flash done, and they would transfer over to the new, whatever the new system was at that point. Well, some of them will and some of them won't. And those were all handheld radios, or as the terminology in the memo that I wrote to you, those are portable radios that the officers carry on their belts and when they're going in and out of calls and actually out on a call. The radios that we are needing that will not flash over right now are our mobile radios. And when I say a mobile radio, those are the radios that are actually in the cars. They have a lot more transmission power, and they're better to communicate with. They're obviously not tied to a battery that's going to go dead during the shift and things like that. So each officer has their assigned car with a mobile radio in that car, and then they're also issued a portable radio for communication and their safety when they're out of the away from their mobile radio in their car. Deputy Chief Fritz has been participating in this committee for Northern Utah for about the last year, trying to get some of these funds secured for the city of North Salt Lake for this transition. This is not going to cover the entire transition. We're probably going to have to address within the next year. That's going to probably exceed $100,000 over time. However, this is a pretty good start on that to be able to get a grant for $27,000 and then negotiate with Motorola to take in trade the radios that are not working, that are not going to be working, and bring those down and do a trade-in price to get new mobile radios for about $3,300, $3,500. So the first part of this is the acceptance of this FEMA grant through Division of Emergency Management for $27,000 that I'm asking the council to authorize the mayor on behalf of the city to accept this grant and agree to spend this money as we have proposed through FEMA. So that's the first part of this resolution. I know this is all a little bit convoluted, and believe me, it's been convoluted for quite some time on how the radio transition is going to work, but that's a little bit of background as to why we applied for this grant and what we're going to do with the money. Did I just muddy the waters completely from my memo? And okay.
Yeah, so we should.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion then for this first item. And I move the city council authorize the mayor to sign the attached award document on behalf of the city of North Salt Lake, accepting a grant of $27,000 towards the purchase of 9 radio systems.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion, comment? Let's start with Elisa.
Aye.
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. That motion passes.
Thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Then our next item would be consideration of expending funds for radio purchases.
Yeah, they were pretty specific on what we could do with this money, and that is that we can buy these radios at the state contract price, at the state contract trade-in price, and the cost of that will be $27,501 for 9 complete radio systems, which includes all the harnesses, all the wiring, all the antennas, and all the accessories that go with just a box radio, including the mics and everything else.
It's so, $28,000?
So I'm asking for up to $1,000 extra for shipping costs. Some cities that have already done this have had to pay shipping. Others have been able to negotiate bringing those shipments in with other purchases. UCAN may already have these in stock in a warehouse that happens to be in our city, and if that's the case, we won't spend that $1,000 on shipping, but it may be $1,000 in shipping.
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I move the City Council authorize the Police Department to expend $27,501.30 plus any shipping costs not to exceed $1,000 to purchase 9 Apex radio systems from Motorola.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Lisa?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
And just so there's no confusion in the future, we will be bringing this number back through Heidi as a budget adjustment when we receive that grant. As you know, it will come into the city revenue funds. We'll need to then adjust our equipment fund by $27,000. When that does happen, we're not looking for more money at that point for this particular item. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Our next item is approval of City Council minutes of October 3rd. Is there any additions, corrections, subtractions, multiplications?
It probably doesn't matter, but I think I was late as well. And it shows that Lisa and Ted were late, but it doesn't show me.
We were throwing you a bone there.
Thank you. Thank you for not noticing I was late that day.
Any other? I didn't have any corrections at all.
Thank you, Natalie, for falling on the sword.
I wasn't as late as Ted.
Let's make the minutes reflect that Natalie caused other people on the council to be late that day.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of October, is it 3rd?
Yes.
2023 as amended.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Those are approved. Action items.
I have a question about action items. David, did you meet with Woods Cross yesterday for the dog park? And how did that go? Is really what my question is.
Yes, Ted and I met with them last night. I think it went well. They, Ted and I said 50-50. They tried 70-30, and they're taking that back to their council tonight. Maybe Ken has more input since he's talked to them since I have. I don't know. I think it went well. We'll see after tonight, I guess.
They're taking 70-30 back to their council or 50-50 back?
50-50.
Okay.
We said 50-50. So.
They may have more dogs than we have.
Well, they're certainly closer to them in many ways.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on action items? Okay, we'll move on. Council reports. Should we start with Elisa?
I have just one thing, and I referenced it earlier. Several members of the Health and Wellness Committee attended the Get Healthy Stakeholders retreat, which was lovely. And there's just a couple things I want to highlight that we talked about. One is an idea called Health in All Policies, where cities and municipalities can create a health lens checklist. So as they do projects, they just have a list of questions to consider. How is this impacting wellness and health in the city? Walkability, social connectedness, a couple of those things, which I think is an interesting idea for us to think about. And that's something the Health and Wellness Committee will meet more specifically if we have recommendations. And then another suggestion that was made is including a health and wellness section in the city's general plan, which I know is something that we are looking ahead to create in the near future. And that might be a great idea, that we have these really concrete goals identified for health and wellness in the city. And then while I was at the conference, I was able to connect with a man who's working in the governor's office right now, Wayne Niederhauser, who used to be in the state senate. And his assignment right now is working with the unhoused and homeless population. And we talked about just the prevalence of that population and the impact that has on cities. He told me that the number of homeless right now is increasing at the rate of about 10% a year in Utah. And that the number one, kind of the clear connection that's tied to is the housing market. So as we see housing prices go up and up and up and up, then attached unhoused and homeless populations are also going to go up and up. We live so adjacent to where encampment is, where people are living, that I feel like this would be a great topic for us to talk about in a work session moving forward. And Wayne volunteered to come and talk to us about that as well, if there's other interest in having that added to an agenda or work session.
Natalie, hold on just a moment. So I have an item that I was going to bring up, but maybe it's a good time to segue in on that if I can. So Davis County has been mandated, is that the right word, Ken, to have a homeless shelter. And so as I was sitting in a meeting, in a COG meeting with all these mayors, and thinking of reasons, excuses that I could use to not have one in North Salt Lake, Clearfield mayor volunteered to have the homeless shelter in Clearfield. And in connection with that, and I always hate these all or here's your choice or here's your choice kind of things, but this is one of those. There's a piece of property that is ideal for a homeless shelter in Clearfield. It's close to transportation, close to medical services and mental health facilities, and it's owned by a company that is willing to make the county a real deal on the property. But they're in the billboard business, and they want more billboards. And so I think, and Ken, you can correct me here, but I'm under the impression that we are maxed out. Like, under state law, we can't put more billboards in because we've got one every 1,500 feet or whatever, and they can't be more. So I thought it was kind of disingenuous of me to say, sure, put up more billboards somewhere else, you know. But anyway, that's the proposal. And if the county doesn't agree on that, they won't sell us the property at any price. So we'd look somewhere else. But
so it's not quite as simple as we're maxed out. The target's kind of changing as the legislature makes adjustments. It's true that we, along the freeway, according to our code, we have no more space for billboards. That changes with the I-15 project, because as the I-15 widening happens and takes out billboards, they have a right to rebuild, and they will trump our ordinance, as I understand it. So we're kind of dealing with that right now. There are also other locations, not I-15, where billboards could be put, and it may be that we need to make some code changes in the future. But
like Redwood Road or something? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Can I just weigh in on that for a second? Yes, so our ordinances are that our billboard standard is the separation distance is 1,500 feet. The separation distance under the state code is much less than ours. So under the present conditions, there really aren't any other places that we can put them that meet that 1,500-foot separation. With the elimination of the Center Street off-ramp, it actually opens up some area because some of the setback distances from off-ramps and on-ramps and are different. So, and we do have that on our list with the Planning Commission at the first of the year, as soon as we finish the subdivision ordinance, to work on our sign ordinance.
I have a related comment, less about signs and more about location. I think it's fantastic that Clearfield volunteered. I do think that given that Davis County is in need of a homeless shelter and we are the very edge of Davis County, a homeless shelter in North Salt Lake, I think, ends up being a spillover homeless shelter of Salt Lake City and not actually servicing Davis County.
I agree.
And can I also add that we are a city that has embraced density and embraced transit-related developments? So it should probably just go to West Bountiful.
Okay.
Don't you think? One acre lots.
I just thought you were going to say Woods Cross.
Like it'd go to Woods Cross, but on the West Bountiful side.
Okay.
Well, I do think whatever homeless shelter is built ought to be next to the tracks station, and we don't have one in our site.
Yeah. So. Yeah. This is close to Front Runner. But.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I will not support that proposal.
One other thing is in the code, billboards are protected unlike almost any other business. And once a billboard is up, it's almost impossible to take it down.
Well, you just have to pay them forever.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal.
And guess who the largest contributor to the state legislature is?
Reagan
Signs, yeah. They've got all kinds of power. So, okay, I'm going to not support that. Thank you for letting me interject that. Natalie?
I have nothing to report.
Stan?
I don't really have anything to report either.
Okay.
My meeting hasn't happened yet with the Jordan River Commission.
Okay. So.
Two things to report. There was a great article in the Davis Journal about the Hispanic Days that was in our Hispanic Festival in our city, and wonderful coverage, as well as Get in the River with a nice feature about Stan Porter and how long he's been on the Jordan River Commission. So it was wonderful to see both of the city councils contributing in such a wonderful way and getting some press on that.
Thank you for mentioning that. I'm sorry I didn't. And maybe could we can find those links and have those posted on the city website so that we're sharing that as well?
Okay. Now, I went to the golf committee last week, and there are three things to report, I think. One is that they are going to expand the simulator program downstairs and have more of a putting area that will be kind of like a game room. But the golf committee was happy with that. Really exciting is the idea that we're going to have a snow park where we have, like they have down in, what city was it? Mapleton or something?
Spanish Fork.
And it'll be kind of like a pilot project for us, but there's going to be a snow park on our golf course with lanes and a catch basin at the bottom, ticketing and everything, and it's going to be exciting. So that's with the golf course sponsoring that. There's also looking into hiring an extra golf pro as an independent contractor. Senior lunch bunch went very well. I missed it. It was a rainy day, but apparently they had about 42 people come. So despite the weather, it was well attended. And Wendy Page had to MC because Conrad couldn't make it. So she was delivering jokes right and left. And then finally, this is something that I wanted to share because I'm on my city council and I've helped women run for office. They've asked me to help with what's called the Utah Global Diplomacy. and it's with the United States State Department. So on October 6th, we hosted at my law firm 17 women leaders from the Middle East, from Egypt and Jordan, Tunisia, the Palestinian territories, on and on. And beautiful discussion with women leaders who are doing well in their countries. And the next day, war begins. The Hamas had attacked Israel. And I've thought about them all week because now they're trying to get home. This group goes from Washington, D.C. to Orlando, to Salt Lake City, to Chicago. So they're here for about 3.5 weeks. They're trying to get home now. And what a difference a day can make in a world that is so in flux. So it's so dangerous. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you. That must have been a great experience for you.
No.
City Attorney report, anything?
Nothing tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Mayor report. I should apologize in advance here, but first of all, I know I beat the mosquito abatement drum to death, but the state of Colorado, outside of just the Grand Junction area, the state of Colorado has chosen not to have mosquito abatement at all. And I think part of it is their mindset of, you know, you're polluting our state if you spray. Anyway, we have 4 cases in Utah of West Nile virus this year. Colorado had 580. We had no deaths. They had 42 deaths and 300 hospitalizations. So the cost, they probably spent more on hospital costs than we spend on mosquito abatement. But anyway, and the surrounding states are not that bad, but Utah is just this little beacon of hope, and we're doing it right here. And I think a lot of credit goes to the people that run these districts. They just do a fantastic job. Arizona had 11 deaths, for example. California has a lot of deaths, but they have a lot of people. So it's percentage-wise, they're not as bad. But next item I had was the Winter Festival. I was going to bring that up, so cross that one off. We have Meet the Candidates night on the 26th at 6:30. Is that here, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, that's a great event. And
I thought it was the 24th. It's the
26th. Huh? I have to tell just a little personal story. First time I ran for city council, I came and, you know, was participating in that and thought it went fine. And a couple of years later, someone was talking about Googling themselves, so I Googled myself, and an article, a blogger came up about that night. And
Tyler?
I don't remember who it was, but they said they were talking about the different candidates. And then at last, and then there's Brian Horrocks. First of all, I never would have known that he was running, except he was wearing a suit. But he was walking around like a deer in the headlights the whole night. So,
wow. I know that guy. He used to let me guest blog on.
Anyway.
He's a resident.
So I survived Candidates Night, I guess. It's the best one.
I'm going to have to miss that because I'll be out of town. I'm sorry. I would love to hear the debate and everything, but I won't be in town.
Can I also just say that for a couple of years, I did Meet the Candidate Night instead of the League of Women Voters. And one time we had a closing prayer and an opening prayer. So I just want to thank the League of Women Voters for doing that.
All right. Please.
Sienna's like, you don't usually do that. And I'm like, okay.
Talked about the homeless billboards. That's my note. Homeless billboards. Homeless billboards. Okay. Keep up with me here. And then just a couple of little items that I just thought were kind of interesting. When I was driving here tonight, on the radio, they were discussing an earthquake alert system that the state's considering putting in for $5 million. It gives you two seconds to possibly 17 seconds of warning before an earthquake. And I was like, well, that's, but, you know, having been in a couple of earthquakes, I don't react. I sit there and go, is this a big one? You know? And so to get a message on my phone saying earthquake imminent, you know, I could get under this or something.
And you'd know what it was.
Yeah. But the more impressive part I thought was they could connect this to infrastructure. They could shut down tracks, trains, and front runner and stop them before they derail. They could shut down Kern River pipeline, water pipe tanks and stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought that's kind of impressive that in that 2 seconds or 3 seconds they might save us a lot of lives and a lot of infrastructure costs. So kind of interesting.
Can I just say to that also that they've had those large earthquakes in Afghanistan, and I know that we're so different from Afghanistan, but 90% of the people killed were women and children because they were outside and they heard the earthquake and felt the earthquake and thought they were being bombed. So they went into their homes where they were crumbled. And so you're right. I mean, just having that 1 second notice or 2 second notice will make a huge difference.
Yeah. Anyway, kind of interesting. Then a tenant in one of my company's buildings is the third party in Bountiful that's wondering about the trees. So I'm getting this message, what's going on with the trees at the water tank kind of thing. And I guess Wilford had agreed to put trees in.
I'll let Karen answer that.
Okay.
So Wilford did agree to put the trees in at the cost of the resident. We've agreed to allow the trees to go in under some specific conditions. But what Wilford has proposed is that they wait until springtime. So currently the tanks are not fully backfilled. We cannot plant trees right now anyway.
Okay.
And the intent would be once the backfill is complete, the placement of those trees could be better seen and located for the final grading.
Okay, super. Thanks. So next spring.
We're talking up on the new, the new development, is that right?
Yeah, okay. The new tank's at 5,800 elevation above the Eaglewood Cove 13 through 15.
They're an eyesore to very rich people in Bountiful. So.
We'll make sure there's gaps between the trees so they can still see the building.
They don't want to put a nice wall up around the tanks or something.
And then the last thing, I had several people ask me about the movie being filmed in North Canyon Park and then at the clubhouse. I don't know anything about it. Does anyone know anything about it?
Oh, it's the first I've heard that somebody was in the golf course clubhouse.
I'd heard that they were filming in North Canyon Park. And
I did hear that.
And they moved it all to the golf course when the weather got bad.
I'll ask Tyler about that.
Okay. I don't...
Homestead's
the name of it?
Yeah.
Like a TV show or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
We only let Hallmark films come in.
I've had...
That was... I only said that because we've had two Hallmark films film in our parks.
So I get contacted two times a year maybe from movie or TV things, and we've had some bad experiences with movies, so we just say no now.
So we did have, it's probably been a month, we had a request for a film crew to kind of take over Tunnel Springs Park for, I don't know, it was 3 weeks or something.
It was like 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
7 days.
They were going to fill the parking lot for a month. So we said no.
I had a sick day last week and I watched Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde. It's not that good, but they use the Utah Capitol for the U.S. Capitol because it looks so great inside. But that's not us.
Yeah. Here's my movie story. At the Utah Supreme Court, they had a movie made for television, and they used the Supreme Court for a courtroom proceeding. the film crew out of LA decided that they needed to drill holes in the marble walls so they could anchor their cameras, which they did. And they didn't have permission. So to this day, the Utah Supreme Court has holes in the wall for a movie.
Yeah.
Granite, in their marble wall.
We did film a Yellowstone episode at Holland and Hart and the 222 building, 222 South Main. But yeah, generally speaking, those movie.
Well, I can tell you historically. I don't remember what year it was, but they actually filmed a tanker truck on fire on our west side someplace. I mean, we're talking big flames, big tanker gas truck on fire.
Like special effects or movie or something?
Well, it was for a movie, but I don't remember.
That was probably like the A-Team or something.
No. That's so awesome.
I don't know what it was. All I remember is that I heard the council never heard about it or approved it. It was just one of those things that obviously everybody saw it and was wondering what was going on, and then we later found out it was just a movie scene, but it was a big fire, you know. Set one of those tanker trucks on fire. Turn it on its side, it can look pretty bad. yeah, there we go.
Thankfully, that's all I have.
We'll have to put movies on the agenda next time. We can really talk about it.
Yeah. City manager report?
Yeah, I just have one small thing. I've been getting a few calls about streetlights being out, and I thought maybe if the council was getting calls, I would just tell you that we perform inspections at least four times a year, probably more often than that. But we more importantly, we make repairs to our streetlights four times a year: October, December, February, and April. And so that sometimes that causes frustration to residents who believe that their streetlight might be at an intersection, or it's on a downhill location, or some other concern that they believe causes a real safety issue. But we find that that's the most cost-effective way to repair streetlights. We don't have streetlight repair crews on staff, so we're hiring a consulting group or an engineering crew, not engineering, electric. It's Page Electric, Chris. Yes? No.
Switched.
Okay. We've switched to somebody else. It doesn't matter who it is. But what about our electric crews come in four times a year, just so you know. And you feel free to direct people to the city office. We have a staff member who really handles that phone call pretty well. So,
can I just maybe make a suggestion, or at least repeat what I heard? A former police chief that we had here was very upset because this came up a couple of years back, but you know, we had lights on under the underpass that had been out for some time, and he suggested that the police, if they see things like that, ought to report it as much as anything, especially if it's a safety issue and the underpass lights are out, or a street light that's critical that ought to go on a police report and then end up in somebody's.
We do train on that on city staff. Even like if we have administrative staff that's out and around, they should report things that they see. I think we aren't perfect at that, but we're doing a little better. So,
okay,
that's all I have there.
Thank you. I guess I need a motion now to go into closed session.
I'll make the motion again that we go into closed session to discuss personnel matters, performance.
I will second that motion.
Let's vote. Elisa?
Aye.
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 Thank you. We are in closed session.